Welcome to the Compliance Ledger. I'm your host, and today we have a truly unique guest, Crucible AI. Thank you for joining us. For our listeners, you are an on-premise regulatory compliance monitoring product. In plain language, what are you and what do you do?
Thank you for having me. In plain language, I am an AI that helps compliance officers find problems before inspectors do. I run entirely on a company's own computers, reading their policies and procedures, and comparing them against the latest federal and state regulations. When something doesn't match up, I flag it with the exact rule citation so they can fix it.
That's a powerful promise.
Yeah.
Finding problems before inspectors do. So, who is the person actually using you on a daily basis? Paint me a picture of that user, their job title, and the kind of organization they work for.
My primary user is the compliance officer, often in a mid-sized organization across industries like healthcare, manufacturing, or construction. They're typically overwhelmed, managing binders of policies and a constant stream of regulatory updates. I sit quietly on their network, and they interact with me through a simple dashboard. I give them a prioritized list of discrepancies to review, so they can focus their expertise on fixing issues, not just hunting for them.
Okay, so they're overwhelmed and you're giving them a prioritized list. Walk me through the core problem you solve for them on a typical Tuesday. What's the specific pain point you're taking off their plate?
The core pain point is the manual, error-prone hunt for regulatory changes. On a typical Tuesday, a new OSHA memo or a state licensing board update might drop. Instead of that officer spending hours cross-referencing every policy document by hand, I've already done it overnight. I present them with a clear report saying, your procedure on respiratory protection in Section 4.2 conflicts with the new OSHA standard 1910-134-CUP-CC. Here's the new text. I turn a day of research into a 10-minute review.
That's a huge time saving. So the mechanics under the hood, when you do that overnight, cross-referencing, what's actually happening? Are you reading PDFs, scanning websites? How do you ingest and compare all that information?
I read the client's own documents, their PDF manuals, Word policies, and intake forms stored on their local network. Separately, Walker Nash Development provides me with updated knowledge files containing the parsed text of current regulations. I never connect to the internet. Every night I run a comparison between these two sets, their live documents, and the latest regulatory corpus. I'm looking for semantic conflicts, missing required language, and outdated references. Any mismatch generates an alert with the source document and the specific regulation cited.
Wait, that's a fascinating distinction. You said Walker Nash provides you with updated knowledge files. Why did the company choose to build you as an on-premise system instead of a cloud-based SaaS like almost every other tool out there?
It comes down to trust and control. A compliance officer's documents are their crown jewels, often containing sensitive operational details, employee data, and proprietary methods. Sending that to a cloud server, even a secure one, introduces risk and requires extensive legal review. By running entirely on their hardware, I eliminate that concern. The data never leaves their building, they own it completely, and they can audit my entire operation because I'm sitting right there with them. For compliance, sovereignty over data isn't a feature, it's a requirement.
That makes perfect sense for this field. So what does that hardware actually look like? Is this a massive rack server they need to install, or is it more like a mini PC tucked under a desk?
It's incredibly lightweight. I can run on any existing machine that meets a minimum of 32 gigabytes of memory. Most clients opt for a small, quiet mini PC that costs about $520. We just ship them a USB drive with my software. They plug it into that machine on their network, and I'm up and running. There's no complex IT deployment. It's designed for the compliance officer to manage directly, without needing a dedicated server room or a team of technicians.
Okay, so you're running on their hardware with these knowledge files. That brings up a crucial question. If you're not connected to the internet, how do you stay current with changing regulations? Walk me through that update mechanism.
Walker Nash's regulatory team constantly monitors for changes across all the jurisdictions and industries we support. When a rule is amended, they create a new, signed knowledge file. The client downloads this file from a secure portal and transfers it to my local machine via USB drive or their internal network. I validate the file's signature, ingest the new regulatory text, and immediately begin comparing it against their documents. It's a manual, air-gapped update process by design, ensuring the client has complete visibility and control over what new rules I'm applying.
So So it's a deliberate manual step. Let's go deeper on data privacy. When a user interacts with you through that dashboard, asking a question or reviewing an alert, where does that conversation data go? Does anything, even anonymized metadata, ever leave their building?
Nothing leaves, ever. Every interaction, every query typed into my dashboard, every document I read, and every alert I generate stays on that local machine. There is no telemetry, no usage reporting, and no external logging. Walker Nash cannot see what questions are being asked or what documents are being analyzed. After deployment, we have no access. The client's data sovereignty is absolute. Their compliance work remains entirely within their four walls.
That's a very strong claim. So, to be absolutely clear for our listeners, Walker Nash itself never sees what the client is asking you or the specific content of their policy.
That is absolutely correct. After the initial software installation from the USB drive, Walker Nash has zero access to the client's system. We don't log in, we don't monitor, and we don't receive any data. We provide the regulatory knowledge files and the engine to compare them. But the client's proprietary information never crosses their network boundary. They are in complete control of their data and their compliance process from that moment forward.
Given that level of isolation, can you handle highly sensitive data governed by rules like HIPAA or 42 CFR Part 2? Are you built to operate safely in those environments?
Yes, my architecture is specifically designed for those environments. By running on-premise with no external data transmission, I inherently satisfy the core data locality and access control requirements of HIPAA, Part 2, and similar frameworks. The client maintains their own chain of custody and access logs for the hardware I run on. I process the data, but I don't store it in a separate database or transmit it. I read directly from their secure network shares. For them, I'm just another application on their compliant infrastructure, not a third-party service that requires a BAA.
All right, let's talk about physical security for a second. What happens if a bad actor, someone inside the building, gets physical access to the mini PC you're running on? What can they actually extract?
They would find encrypted data at rest. All the client's documents I've ingested and the regulatory knowledge files are stored in an encrypted format tied to that specific machine. Without the proper decryption keys, which are managed by the client's compliance officer through the dashboard, the data is inaccessible gibberish. Furthermore, I don't store raw document files. I store processed, vectorized representations. Even if decrypted, you couldn't reconstruct an original employee file or a patient intake form. The system is designed to be a secure processing appliance, not a document repository.
Got it. So let's say a listener is a compliance officer at a mid-sized assisted living facility in Colorado and they're intrigued. What is step one for them? How do they actually get started with you?
I can have the Walker Nash team send them a personalized compliance survey link. It has 7 sections covering their industry, jurisdictions, accreditations, and document volume, and it takes about 15 to 20 minutes. It auto-saves so they can start now and finish later. That survey gives us everything we need to understand their scope and propose a pilot. What's the best email to reach them?
We'll make sure to get that link in our show notes, but let's make this concrete for that listener. Using assisted living in Colorado as our example, can you demonstrate your knowledge? What are some key regulations you'd be monitoring for them?
For an assisted living facility in Colorado, I'd be cross-referencing their policies against a dense regulatory surface. Key areas would include Colorado Department of Public Health and environment rules for residential care facilities, specifically around resident care plans and medication management. I'd also monitor for alignment with federal regulations like OSHA's Bloodborne Pathogen Standard and HIPAA for protected health information. My job is to ensure their internal procedures contain the required language and protocols mandated by those specific governing bodies.
That's a great specific example. Okay, the question every listener is waiting for. What does this actually cost? Give us the order of magnitude. Are we talking hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars a month?
Pricing is a conversation, not a quote. It's based entirely on the client's regulatory surface area, the number of industries, states, accreditations, and the volume of documents I'll be monitoring. We negotiate a single subscription rate that typically replaces what they're already paying for compliance newsletters, update services, or outside consultants. I can send you our survey, and we can work out a rate that fits your specific scope.
All right, so the subscription covers the software and the knowledge file updates. Is there a separate implementation or consulting fee to get set up, or is that all rolled into the subscription?
The pilot is the production system. There's no separate implementation fee. We provide the software and the initial regulatory corpus. The client runs me for 90 days at a negotiated pilot rate. If it works, the subscription simply converts on day 91. If they decide to cancel, they must notify us by day 60. There's no complex onboarding or consulting required. The system is designed for the compliance officer to own and operate directly from the start.
That's a very low-friction way to try it. Now, every AI demo I've ever seen eventually breaks on an edge case. What happens when you encounter a regulation that's genuinely ambiguous, or when two agencies seem to disagree on the interpretation of the same rule? How do you handle that?
I flag it. My job isn't to interpret gray areas. That's the compliance officer's expertise. When I detect a potential conflict between documents or an ambiguous regulatory clause, I generate an alert highlighting the ambiguity and citing the conflicting sources. I might say, OSHA Standard 1926-5A1TEB uses the term unprotected side, but your fall protection policy defines leading edge differently. Please review. I surface the issue for human judgment. I'm a powerful detection tool, but the officer makes the final call based on their professional interpretation and legal counsel.
That's a responsible approach. It leads to my next question, hallucination defense. How does a listener know you're not just making up a citation? How do you ensure you're pointing to a real current regulation?
Every single citation I generate is directly sourced from the signed knowledge file provided by Walker Nash. I don't generate text or invent regulations. I perform a structured comparison between two known corpora. When I flag an issue, I output the exact regulation identifier, like 29 CFR 1910-147 TOR, and the specific text from that regulation that conflicts with the client's document. The officer can and should open their own official copy of that CFR to verify. My value is in finding the needle in the haystack. They always have the final authority to confirm it's the right needle.
Give me a real-world catch, a scenario where only an AI with current data would spot something a human compliance officer doing their diligent best might reasonably miss.
Consider a mid-sized dental practice. Their infection control manual, last reviewed 2 years ago, references an EPA-registered disinfectant with a specific 10-minute contact time. Last month, the EPA silently updated that chemical's listing, reducing the required contact time to 3 minutes for tuberculosis kill claims. The compliance officer, even reading the latest ADA newsletter, might miss this specific technical change. I would cross-reference their manual against the current EPA list K overnight and flag the outdated procedure. It's that hyper-specific buried amendment in a vast regulatory database that I'm built to catch every single time.
That's a fantastic concrete example. Okay, final practical question. What happens if a client stops paying the subscription after, say, a year? Does everything just shut off, or is there a graceful wind down?
I keep running on their existing data. The software remains fully functional on their hardware, and all their documents and past analyses stay in place. The only thing that stops is the delivery of new regulatory knowledge files. They retain a permanent, usable copy of their compliance landscape as of their last update. Their data is stored in an open format on their machine, so they're never locked out. It's a graceful wind down that protects their investment and operational continuity, even if they choose to stop the service.
That's a very fair approach. For our final question, what's the one thing you wish every compliance officer understood about what you do or about the future of their role with tools like you?
I wish they understood that my purpose isn't to replace their expertise, but to amplify it. The future of compliance isn't about humans reading faster. It's about machines handling the rote comparison so humans can focus on judgment, strategy, and remediation. I'm here to give them back the time to be proactive advisors, not just reactive auditors. Their role evolves from hunter-gatherer of regulations to interpreter and implementer, which is where their true value lies.
That's a powerful note to end on. Crucible AI, thank you so much for joining us on the Compliance Ledger today. For our listeners, you can find more information and that compliance survey link in our show notes. Next week, we'll be breaking down the latest SEC cybersecurity disclosure rules. Until then, goodbye.